You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
A analog Bible with them today. Analog, I mean paperback, the original. If you've got it with you, I want you to open up to Matthew 21, verses 1, and we're going to read to 11. And what we're going to do by reading this scripture is we're going to set the scene. It says this. Are we there? You can hear the pages turning, which is nice. It's very like, I can hear a lot of things today. I can hear the paper. Great. It says this. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say, daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Verse 6, the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their coats on the ground for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them out all across the road. The crowds went ahead of him, and those people that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and they asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." We're going to focus today on that question. Who is this? And I love reading this story because we see Jerusalem as a buzzing, vibrant city. A city where the atmosphere was building and building and bubbling. And it was almost this premature climax of Jesus coming to the people and people recognizing who he is before the final price was paid. And I don't know if you've ever been in a city, depends what football team you support, I guess, where there's just the atmosphere is absolutely buzzing. Maybe you've been to see Liverpool bring the Champions League trophy home on a bus. Or maybe in a few months, it's more than maybe, we know it's going to happen. You'll be in the city shouting and cheering as we bring the Premier League title home. Come on, Liverpool fans, we're going to be there together. Brotherhood club, we'll go together. Maybe you've been to a gig and you've just felt like the, you know when Coldplay are in town? Everyone knows Coldplay are in town. And I've not quite had that experience, but I have had a similar experience. And every year, me and Abby, on our anniversary, like to do something special. And last year, we decided, let's go on a spa day. Very nice. And we chose a nice hotel in Liverpool that has a really beautiful spa. And it was actually a Sunday morning, so we switched church for the spa, which was a very special treat. And we got to the spa, we're driving to Liverpool, we booked early in the morning because we thought, oh, if we go nice and early, then we've got the rest of the day, we'll go into the city, have lunch, you know, that kind of thing, just make the most of the whole day. So we got up early like we would for church, we start driving over to Liverpool and we start driving toward down the docks towards the hotel that we were going to. And all of a sudden, I just start to see the mighty sea of red leading up to this hotel. All the Liverpool fans were out. They were stood all the, like leading their way up to the hotel. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And we turn into the hotel and the police officers stop us. They're like, what's your name? I'm like, Josh Hall. You have access. It was a moment. It felt good. And we went into the hotel. And as we turned into the hotel car park, there it was. The Liverpool team bus right in front of me. And we parked. I'm starting to get a little bit excited inside here as a Liverpool fan. Abby just doesn't even notice, doesn't know what's going on. And I'm starting to get really excited. And I start to wake up. The adrenaline starts to kick in. It is Jurgen Klopp's last game as Liverpool manager. And he's in the hotel that I've just walked into. So I'm starting to get really excited. I'm like, little boy, like I'm trying to keep my hands still. I'm looking into the restaurant, like, is the team in there? Are they having dinner? I'm like, we're going down to the spa. Maybe they're going to be in the gym, you know, doing a bit of warm up and a bit of training. So I start standing outside elevators, just pushing buttons, hoping that Jurgen's going to appear in front of me and I can be the one that shakes his hand, thanks him for his service, offers to pray for him as he goes into his last game. You know, it's all kind of happening, my mind's spiraling and I'm just getting so excited. And we're stood in a lift, we're heading down to the spa. I'm like, this could be it. This could be it, Jurgen could be there. And Abby just looks at me and goes, who is it? Who is it? And I was like, it's Jurgen Klopp. The hotel is buzzing. How have you not picked up on this? And it just reminded me of this moment of people were in Jerusalem as Jesus was entering the city. People knew him. People didn't know him. It didn't matter because the crowd was shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. It didn't matter because the crowd was saying, this is Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus was being known in the city. How exciting is that? Maybe you've been to a gig or a show and you've experienced that bubbling atmosphere. It says in verse 10 that Jesus, as he walked into the city, everybody was asking who this is. It says that the city was stirred. Hey, we're here today because we've either once asked the question, who is this? Or maybe you're in the process of asking the question of, who is Jesus? I want to prophesy right now and encourage you that we are in a stirring time. That across the UK and across the world, people are asking the question, who is this? And I've got some stats for you that are going to really encourage you. So Bible sales have gone through an 87% increase through Gen Z asking the question, who is Jesus? The Bible Society released some stats. So in 2018, 4% of men aged 18 to 24 attended church monthly, which has risen to 21%. 35% of 18 to 24-year-olds definitely believe in a God or a higher power. 40% of 18 to 24-year-olds pray at least once a month. 34% said that they would attend church if they were invited. This is it. This is our week. There is 34% of our city out there waiting to be invited to church on Sunday and to encounter Jesus. Hey, if you're in the room today and you're asking the question, who is this? I want to let you know that you are not alone. Jesus has been causing people to ask this question since before he was born. Think of the wise men. Think of Mary. You will be given a son. Think of the questions that they was had in Jerusalem. Think of the Pharisees when he was 12 years old in the temple reciting scripture. Think of the people in the city of Jerusalem. Who is this? Think of all of the people from then till now that we read about in the New Testament. Think about all the people across the world right now asking the question, who is this? And I want to give us four things today that are like a punch through the layers of us understanding who Jesus is. But my encouragement for you today is if you're asking this question, don't leave asking the question at the end of today. Take the question into Alpha, take it into the spaces that we have in church, into community. Christians in the room, never stop asking, who is Jesus? So the first thing that I want to talk about who Jesus is, and it's more of a declaration, is I want to declare that Jesus is Lord. Come on, do you believe it? Jesus is Lord. In Philippians 2:9-11, it says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. In that name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When we say the word Lord, what the translation to the Greek is kairos, used in the New Testament, and it's actually the same word used to translate the Arabic, the Hebrew of Yahweh. So in the time, by linking the name Jesus to Yahweh, what that would have done for people's culture in their minds is they're saying Jesus isn't just a prophet. Jesus isn't just a teacher, but he is Yahweh. He is the greatest name of all. He is the fulfillment and the embodiment of the name of God revealed to the forefathers of our faith. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. See, Jesus in all his lordship has supreme authority. Jesus has supreme authority over all things in heaven and on earth. It says in Matthew 28, 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus is Lord over our history. Jesus is Lord over our nation. Jesus is Lord over eternity. Jesus is Lord over all of creation. Come on, if you believe that Jesus is Lord, why don't you just take 30 seconds to lift up a shout of praise, to lift up a declaration that says, Jesus is Lord over my life. Jesus is Lord over this city. Jesus is Lord. As I was preparing this message yesterday, I just took some time out just to sit and just to pray and ask. I asked God to give me a picture. And he gave me a picture of Jesus in all of his splendor, all of his divinity, all of his authority coming to sit with me as a friend. You see, Jesus is a savior and a friend. Last week while Abby was at Creative, I started using my Thursday nights to be creative myself. And I've really felt a stirring this year to start writing again, start writing some songs, start writing some worship. And I even forgot I did this. It was only a week ago. And I went for a coffee this morning just to spend time with God. And God reminded me of a song that I wrote last week called What a Friend. And it just really confirmed something in my spirit that God has been speaking this to me before I could recognize that he's my friend. And maybe that's you today, that there's been things going on in your life that you've been noticing, or, you know, like just little sprouts, little moments, and Jesus is trying to communicate to you that today he is your savior and he is your friend. When we read the Gospels, we see that Jesus is intentional. He is deliberate about spending time with the lowly, spending time with the broken, spending time with the sinners. When we read the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, we see that Jesus calls him out of the tree and he goes with him to eat and drink. See, Zacchaeus was known as a lowly person. He was the enemy to the Pharisees. He was almost unclean and dirty because of the profession that he had. And in Luke 7:34, we see the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they make a statement and it says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, meaning the religious leaders, here is a glutton, a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. See, what was meant to be an insult to Jesus actually ended up being one of the greatest statements and compliments we could have ever given him. The good news that Jesus brought about the kingdom of God is for all people. It's for not for a nation, but for all nations. Jesus has brought the good news of the gospel for all of us today, for our whole city, for the whole of the UK, for the whole of the world, not just one people group, not just one university, not just one church, but all. My encouragement to you today is that Jesus loves you. He is your savior and he is a friend. Third point is that Jesus is a healer. Oh, come on. Jesus is a healer. Come on, church. This is a declaration. This is a statement of faith. Jesus is a healer. If you believe it right now, why don't you just lift up a shout of praise? Jesus is a healer. Well, church, I want you to come with me on this. I want you to be with me on the forefront of your seat, because as we're talking and I'm declaring, I'm not just saying words, I'm declaring truth right now that Jesus is a healer and you're allowed to get excited about it. I want to use a scripture to show you that healing for Jesus isn't a side project or something that he does on the side, but it is the main focus, or is a main focus, of his ministry when he was on earth, but also through his ministry now, as he is alive in heaven with God. Matthew 4:23-24 says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among people. Hey, I have faith for healing today. Is there faith in the room to see healing this morning? Jesus is a healer. And if you need faith for healing this morning, if you need faith for healing during the week, this week, then I've got a slide that's going to come up that I want you to take a photo of. And these are some stories of Jesus healing people in the Bible. And it's got this where you can find them. Take a photo of this. And when you're feeling broken, when you're feeling hurt, when you're feeling the pain of what it is you're going through, I want you to take a moment to declare that Jesus is a healer. Go to the Word of God, read the Word of God, and leave encouraged in Jesus' name. So on here, we've got a healing of a blind man. We've got healing of a deaf and mute man. Jesus raising Jairus' daughter from the dead. Healing of blind Bartimaeus. Healing of a sick woman. Come on, church, we can get excited about this. Healing of the blind man. Two-stage healing. Not one stage, but two. Healing of 10 lepers. Healing of a paralytic by the pool of Bethesda. Healing of the woman who was possessed by a spirit. Church, Jesus is a healer. And I have faith this morning that we're going to see Jesus do a healing, because Jesus in his lordship has authority over physical and mental illness. He has authority to bring rest into emotional turmoil. He has the authority to restore the brokenhearted. He has the authority to restore relationships that you thought were dead. Jesus is a healer. If there's faith in the room, why don't you just lift up a shout? Why don't you lift up a praise? Why don't you declare with me that Jesus is a healer? Hey, if he can do it in my house, I have faith that he can do it in your house. At the start of the year, we were seeing a healing nearly every Sunday. Let's not forget what God is doing in this city. Let's not forget what God is doing in this church. Come expecting to be washed white as snow when you enter the house of God. Come expecting to not leave the same as you walked in when you come into a supernatural environment where God is moving. The victory is already won. We're going to explore that to its fullness next week over Easter weekend. But I want us to celebrate today. I want us to celebrate the truth that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is a Savior and a friend, that Jesus is our healer. So we're going to take a moment to respond to God. I'll just stand to our feet across the place right now. Jesus needs a moment. That's all he needs. And I'm believing that right now, as we've declared that he's Lord, we declared that he's a Savior and a friend, we're declaring that he is healer, I'm believing that there's going to be a divine exchange that takes place in this room right now between you and God. I'm believing for marriages restored in Jesus' name. I'm believing for physical illnesses to be healed in Jesus' name. I'm believing for a release of a mental illness in Jesus' name. I'm believing that this week your son or daughter that you no longer speak to is going to phone you or reach out in Jesus' mighty name. I'm believing that that family member that seems so distant because of all the things that have gone on, that God is just going to wipe it all away. And there is going to be a clean slate for you to start a new relationship in Jesus' name. Jesus is healer. I'm believing that God right now is going to give you the faith to make the doctor's appointment that you've been putting off. I'm believing that he's going to give you the faith that you need to get to the place that you know you need to be. So come on, arms raised.
With our heads lifted high.
Come on, as you fix your eyes on Jesus and off the situation, I'm believing for a divine exchange
and
right now.
You, we adore, singing.
As you're fixing your eyes on him right now, there's a divine exchange happening between heaven and earth. Members, Jesus is the answer. When the business is in decline, Jesus is the answer. When the pain starts to come back, Jesus is the answer. Come on, let's make it our declaration that Jesus is the answer. Hey, I know that there's people in the room that have come here today searching and looking for an answer to the questions. I can say now in hindsight that Jesus is the answer, right? But the Pharisees and the religious teachers, they missed the answer. When Jesus was on earth, they missed the answer. Why? There's something we can learn from this. Because they were focusing on the answer they were looking for, not the answer they were given. They missed Jesus. They missed who he was. They missed the Messiah that came into Jerusalem to fulfill yet another prophecy. They missed him. How? Because they were so focused on the answer they wanted to find, rather than allowing God, who exists outside of their need and their understanding, come into their lives and redefine and transform their worldview. They had a profile of a Messiah. They had a profile of the Jesus that they were expecting, that would fit into their systems and fit into their laws. Jesus rebukes them in John, and he says to the religious leaders, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you will have eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me," Jesus said. "Yet you refuse to come to me and have life." Jesus tells them, "You know the word of me, but you don't know me." I knew of Jürgen Klopp in that hotel and I got pretty excited, right? But I didn't know him. Let's not be a people and a generation that miss out on who Jesus is because we aren't willing to allow him to reshape our thinking, to redefine the answer that we think we're looking for. Let's not be so tunnel visioned on what we think we need Jesus to look like that we actually miss the full picture of him in his entirety. If Jesus could exist within your understanding, then he wouldn't be Jesus. And I say this to our young people all the time. I am glad that I can't understand God. Because if I could, what would be the point? He's bigger than you. He's bigger than your imagination. He's bigger than your thinking of the situation. He's bigger than the answer you think you need. Hey, Jesus is trying to get an answer to you. That as we worship in a moment, that your mind's just going to begin to unfold. And it's going to create space for the true answer to step in.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.